The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Okay, we are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, and it is the 19th day of April 2017. And we're talking with Al Whitney, and, well, pretty much centering around the fruit from the poisonous tree. That's Melvin Stamper, JD. And, you know, some of the comments on the back of this book is pretty astounding. The lawyer from St. Augustine, Florida, I mean, he was a JD and thought he knew what he knew, and, well, he started looking at Semper's book, and he remarked, and he says, "A remarkable expose of government corruption and treason that will leave you breathless." And I will get you, I'm feverishly trying to go through my emails to let people know where they can get an online PDF of this, because it is, folks, it's one of these books that needs to be read and understood. And when I say that, you know, come the elephant thing, you know, what are you touching, the ear or the tail? You know, I got a rope? No, I got a fan. You know, when you read this from the position and the point of view and understanding of a lawyer that has dove down that rabbit hole and has come up just wide-eyed and the little bunny is scared crapless, this is the kind of guy to explain it to you, because he can give you the parallel as to what's law and what's not law and how it has been changed. To me, Al, it's worth its weight in gold, literally.
I totally agree, and a lot of people follow. You have Tom Lacavera, who talks a lot about the 14th Amendment.
Talked.
Well, Melvin does that as well, and then he puts that in this book, in the history and what happened at the time of the Civil War. He also talks about the bankruptcy and the changes that took place in 33, as does Ronald McDonald. Mm-hmm. So what people can get is, it puts it together, things that were kind of flying around in our heads. He puts it all together, but he brings in something they don't. And that happened in Ohio in 1953. And I can verify that. I ran into it by accident. Melvin says in the 50s, the Uniform Commercial Code was adopted in most of the states as a means of unifying the generally accepted procedures for handling the new legal system of dealing with commercial fictions as though they were real. In Ohio, in 1953, I kept running across these statutes, effective date October 1953. There were thousands of them, and it's enough to say, what the bleep happened in 1953? And it took me, I bet, a year to figure out that is when they formally changed the courts and they launched the UCC across the courts in Ohio in 1953. So from that point on, all the statutes were written for persons and everything went commercial.
Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis.
Hey, folks.
Hi.
Al, I have to admit one thing. when you read that part in the one book or page or whatever about fluoride and so forth, and I had a whoa moment, you remind me of a line from the first Matrix film when Neo was dealing with Morpheus, when Morpheus is telling him to free your mind and let go. So
yes.
When I heard you say that, I thought, oh my gosh, okay.
Yes. And it's not fatal. I found out, oh, Jesus wasn't fatal. It's just a little bit uncomfortable. And the more you do it, the less uncomfortable it is. Because then you start saying to yourself, oh, my God, another one. Oh, my God, another one. And then you're no longer sickened by all of this deception, which is in so many layers all around us, don't you think?
Well, I look at it as one domino starts falling, all the others start falling as well in a cascade effect. Now, there's one thing I have to admit. One thing that John mentioned and one thing that you mentioned, and I thought, wow, okay, between the both of you, you nailed it. The difference between an American citizen and a U.S. citizen. Because I've had this discussion with a relative of mine who, unfortunately, is what I would refer to as a trendy and not going this political correction, whatever you want to call it, type avenue. But there's obviously a difference between being a U.S. citizen, being a citizen of the states themselves, and a citizen of America. From her point of view, anybody that happens to reside in Mexico, Canada, or the U.S., because it is a North American continent, is an American. And when I got into that conversation with her, you could have sworn I had just thrown garlic in the whole bathwater. And so, because the moment that she made the comment, I thought, wait a minute, how can you call someone that's coming into the U.S. an American citizen when they're not? And I finally saw where she was coming from. I may have mentioned this once before, I don't recall. But unless they've actually gone through whatever pertinent legalization is, unless they were born in the state, then, yeah, they may be American, but they're not in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, they build in a presumption with the birth certificate and the Social Security number. And the presumption is, and then they keep going when you've registered to vote. Now you're a U.S. citizen, which is another term, is an enemy of the state. And so the presumptions are running along in the background, and we don't even know it. I mean, you get a driver's license, and they want you to mark the box that says U.S. citizen. You go to the bank and get a loan, and they want you to mark the box U.S. citizen.
Right.
So we keep signing up because, again, they don't tell us the rules of the game. All they do is entrap us because we have no idea what the rules of the game even are.
They don't want you to know what they are.
Yeah.
That you couldn't have said anything more truthful. They don't want you to know.
It's called the Endless Black Kit.
Well, it's called judicial supremacy. You're playing the, you know, the card game that's played? Three-card Monty?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, where's the queen? Where's the, no, you picked wrong again. Well, yeah, or the shell game. Let's put the P under the shell, you know? Maybe you pick the wrong one every time.
Okay, this is from his book, and it's a quote of Edward Mandel House, and it showed up in the private papers of Woodrow Wilson, okay? And this is what he said. They will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value designed to make us a profit, and they will be none the wiser, for not one man in a million could ever figure out our plans. And if by accident one or two would figure it out, we have in our arsenal plausible deniability.
There you go. We can point the finger, and it'll never be pointed at us because, well, we're not going to admit guilt because, well, we are the law. And by the way, Al Whitney, the ignorance of the law is no excuse.
That's correct. You're absolutely right. That's where they stand on that. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yeah, and they're just making it up as they go along, and you won't know the difference anyhow because you know what? The law is a very complicated thing. Francis, thanks for your call. I appreciate it very much. You mentioned Tom Lacovara. You do know he's in jail, right?
No, I did not know that.
Well, you you got to stay tuned to the network a little bit more. His show has been replaced by somebody that's been on this network for, well, periods of time, and American Awakening with Michael Herzog.
Okay.
And he is going to bring the people on from time to time to give us updates. Yeah, Tom Lacovara, and I'm glad you brought him up because I need to put out his address again if people would want to send him a letter. He is in the Lane County Adult Corrections Facility. So here's the address, and please write it down and address it as I read it out. There's five different lines here, starting with Thomas Lacovara. His last name, L-A-C-O-V-A-R-A. And here's his little gifted prison number. Just put the number there, 392-3405. Second line, federal inmate. Third line, Lane County Corrections. That's Lane County Corrections. Fourth line, here's the actual physical address, 101 West 5th Avenue. And then the final line, fifth line, Eugene, Oregon, 97401. All right. Thanks, Francis. Appreciate you calling. Let me go to Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Hi, folks. Good discussion this evening. And the reason I was calling was I believe one of my basic principles is that the majority of our problems are caused by lawyers, ex-lawyers, which are judges, and groups of ex-lawyers, otherwise known as the legislature or Congress. And from what we know, these creatures are all associated with a private corporation called the Bar Association. They don't have state-issued licenses like a doctor or plumber. Supposedly, when they join the bar, they're registered foreign agents, and they're supposed to take an oath of office to protect the Constitution, but they break it every day with their codes and rules and regulations. So I guess my question to Al is, number one, how do you define these creatures, and have you ever worked on developing a strategy to neutralize them or to actually fight them off when they're attempting to contract?
That is, Wayne, can you narrow that down a little bit, because you just threw a whole lot at her. Is there something specifically you're looking for here, an avenue to an approach, charges from the state, whatever?
Well, what I'm trying to get to is that they don't really have any particular legal standing, as far as I can tell, because of what I laid out. So when they come after you, like in the form of a notice or a letter or some action, is there a strategy Al has used to neutralize them or to actually fight them off?
Yes, I can answer that. First of all, you're absolutely right in your description of what has happened with the bar. And if you go to anticorruptionsociety.com, on our source document page, there's a tab at the top. You scroll down, and we put up an article called The Legal Craft, The Bar Card. And it explains in a lot more detail what you just explained quite well, quite briefly. It explains exactly who and what they are. It's The Legal Craft, and I have in parentheses, The Bar Card. And yes, we do have a strategy, because all of these statutes, they're all statutes, so they're all on UCC now. It's across the whole country, because the Federal Registry, all of the regulating systems are on UCC, and the federal agencies are contracting with the state, and they have contracts with the State Department of Education. They have contracts with the sheriffs. They have contracts. So because these agencies are contracting with everyone, they have to have the same definitions, okay? And to contract with them, they have to be equals. So the definitions are absolutely the same, and we looked it up. We looked up what they defined a person as in the Federal Registry, and we looked up what they define a person as in the statutes of California, and what is a person in Ohio. And then we matched it up with what is the definition of person with the Uniform Commercial Code. And lo and behold, they all have the same exact style in which they put this and define it. A legal person is not a living man or woman. And Melvin Stamper talks about that in his book. He does an excellent job in Chapter 2 explaining this creature that they have created, which is not a man or a woman. It is a legal entity. And yes, we do have ways to deal with that. I think I sent it to John, but John is so busy. I don't think he, if I didn't, I will send it to you, John. And it's a little booklet called Are You Dead or Alive? And you can find it on our website.
Have you ever used any sort of process like a letter of inquiry or demand for debt validation when a third party lawyer is coming after you successfully?
Yes. In our guide, Lawfully Yours, which has had, I think, 56,000 views since we put it up, it's on Anti-Corruption Society, and it's called Lawfully Yours, the People's Empowerment Guide to Our Corporate Commercial System. And we've got templates in there, and exactly what you say. You can always send them a letter and say, you know, what contract you have with my name on it that obligates me to this rule. We've had people do that, and it's funny to watch how they respond. I mean, I could tell you what they do. They try to convince you that, oh, well, if you don't do this, we're going to charge you a penalty. And then they'll have a lawyer saying, if you don't do this, we'll charge you a penalty. And our advice is all saying, well, thank you for letting me know. Just all I'm asking for is a copy of the contract that I have signed that obligates me to this rule. And they go silent.
Yeah, exactly. And from what I understand, there should be an effective way to default them, too. If they don't answer after, say, 30 or 45 days, do you have any particular information on defaulting them so they lose any particular standing in this particular scenario?
Yeah, I think it's in Lawfully Yours. You can figure out how to do that. And if you don't respond, you know, within so many days. But then you've always got, should they come at you again, even if you don't properly default them, all you have to do is send, this is my second request. Please respond. All I'm asking for is a copy of my a contract with my signature on that obligates me to your city municipal corporation's rules. And you can then, this is my third. This is my fourth. You know, like,
yeah.
And then all of those constitute good faith proof that you're not refusing them. You're not saying no. You're just saying, I'd be happy to do it, but just send me a copy of this agreement that we have, you know?
Right. And it's important for people to know, too, that if they disregard a notice or something like that from these folks, that that's a default. I mean, that's you go into default right away. You have to always answer. You got to stay in honor.
Yeah, and all you have to do if they don't answer and send you another one saying, well, thanks for sending me another reminder. Take a look in your files. I'm still waiting for a response to my letter. You know, in other words, you've got to kind of gently, politely, because if you're belligerent, then they immediately go to belligerent and they do everything they can to harm you. But if you're always polite and saying, I'm not going to pay it, all I'm asking for is proof of the obligation. Thank you so much. You know?
Beautiful. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Al. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your call. By the way, if the person is out there that gave me the PDF for Fruit from a Poisonous Tree, if you could call us here at the network or just shoot me an email, that would be fine. I would.
You know what, John?
Yes.
I think they can do a search. I did a search and found it pretty quickly.
Okay.
And it's, I think, Stop the Globalist is the people who might have put it up there.
Okay. I just wiped the thing out. Do you have access to that? Mike?
Oh.
Talk to me, Mike. I can see that you have it right there. What's the web address? StopTheGlobalist.com. Did you get that, folks? StopTheGlobalist.com. That's a little simpler.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Who do we have up next here? That was Wayne in Texas. Let me take Tom after the break. Let me take Tom in Utah. Tom, hang around. Don't go away. Got a commercial break. I'll get my computer back in order here. And continue our conversation with Al Whitney. All right.
Thank you. Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. You know, when that sound came out, I was a knock-kneed little kid, skinny Big as a reel. I still made it to 5'11". That's about it. At any rate, Tom in Utah. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, John. I like Al. She's got some savvy. Anyway, this is kind of side note. I'm trying to find out if Keith Ridgway or Sheriff Richard Mack got in touch with you. Richard Mack is doing a...
Did you just call the office and talk to Julie about 10 minutes ago?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, I got a little post-it note sitting in front of my face here that to tell people there's a conference call with Sheriff Richard Mack that is going to be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you got to write down the number and the access code. Okay, folks, here you go. 712-432-0390. Once again, 712-432-0390. And the access you got to punch in order to get on the conference call, this is going to be for 1 hour, is 108-457-3 and then the number sign. Is that what you got there, Tom?
Well, since I'm visually impaired...
Okay.
You might read that number a little slower for us old folks.
712 432-0390. The access code is 108-4573, and then the pound sign. All right?
Yeah. Did she indicate, or did you get the note that he's pulling together heavy players to help deal with Tom Lacovere and the others that are being...
No, I didn't get that part of the message, but man, is that timely.
Yeah. We finally got him convinced that he needed to be involved with this case, with cases with Tom and all the others that are...
You mean the Bundys and the... Yes, and all of that.
Hammonds, everybody. Yeah.
And thank you. That was a... You must have radar. You might have limited sight, but I think you got radar, Tom. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Good, because this... Let me take Steve in California. Stevie E. And into the last segment of this program, I want to get into the trial of Clive and Bundy. And I want to let you know how the extrajudicial capabilities of this federal judge has gone beyond the pale. So hang on for that. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great, John.
Hi.
No, hey, Al, great advice. I actually talked to Ron McDonald about that, and I opted out of that contract with my animals, my dogs, on that licensure thing, that licensure scam. And you're right, use politeness. Ask where you volunteered to enter into that contract. Show me the statute, the city ordinances. Show me that, and that's exactly what I did, and it worked like a charm for me.
They don't have it. They just claim it's a city policy, and you've and if they capture your dog, they've got him in detention, and you better post his bail, otherwise you can kiss your little doggy goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it worked out really well. So
good.
They made listening and follow up that advice. It works.
Boy, Steve, don't you just love to hear stuff that people, the ordinary common Joe like you and I out there in America, can apply and it actually works?
Well, yeah, that's what's great about your network, John. People call in with life experiences and solutions to problems. That's why your network is such a success.
And that's why we'd like to keep it around a while longer, as I watch other people blow themselves up and shoot their feet off. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Steve. Yeah, the Clive and Bundy trial, this is it's an article, and I will read it quickly. It's not that long, but this will demonstrate the travesty that we're calling our courts. And these federal judges, my God in heaven. And you see what happens politically in this country, Alan, and this has always fascinated me. Whether you're up for Supreme Court of the United States, why is it Democrat and Republicans, why do they always sweat whether we have a liberal or a conservative when politics should have not a damn thing to do with the Constitution of the United States? That is the law of the land, and that is supposed to apply to both parties, no matter what you are, whether you got a donkey or whether you're a jackass or an elephant that the six blind people are trying to figure out what you are. Should not have any substance to it whatsoever. And also the federal judgeships around the country, depending on who's in the White House, that depends on the politics of that federal judge. Man, are we in a lot of trouble.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide, foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy.
Gotta get a little nuts here, folks. Not the AJ kind of nuts. He's embroiled in legal discord right now. At any rate, I wasn't going to mention anything about that, so forget I said that. This conference call, folks, it's taking place here in roughly 27 minutes with Sheriff Richard Mack. It's going to deal with the issues of the Bundys and the Tom Lacaveras out there. And here's the number again. This is going to be 1 hour. And you've got to dial an access code for this, but first you need to dial the phone number. It is 712-432-0390. The access code that you've got to punch in is 108-4573. 108-4573. And then you got to hit the pound button in order to activate it. So, hope you got that. Now, Steve in Kansas, let me take your call, and I want to get into this story about Clive and Bundy and what's been going on with these guys and these judges that they decide what's going to happen in their courtroom. Forget the rule of law. They are the law. It's like watching a bad episode of Judge Dredd, Al.
I am the law. I'm Judge Dredd. I am the law.
It's insane. They become judge, jury, and literally, in some cases, executioner. Steve in Kansas. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, John. Thank you. I have to remiss a little bit anybody that's up in our age about how peace officers treated us 40 years ago, mainly because they had respect for themselves.
Can you quit, Steve? Can you quit reminding people like Al and myself about age?
Okay. I'm trying to age gracefully, but they won't let me, John.
Stay sweet, Steve. Don't turn to vinegar. Yeah. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, this is sweet. Now, but 40 years ago, of how they respected the public trust they were given and respect to themselves, now we've got scared little boys with guns out there.
Yeah.
But my quick question was for the your guest there is, okay, show me the contract or where I contracted you or whatever. What if it's done under duress?
You mean kind of like that judge telling me I better go get a driver's license, otherwise I'm going to lock you up in jail for 30 days? You better contract?
Kind of like we're going to bring a guard in here and beat on you, do something bad to you, keep you in prison type of stuff.
Oh, you mean the really heavy-handed coercion stuff?
Well, that or put a gun to your face and not pull the trigger.
So your question for Al, which, by the way, is a fellow talk show host on this network with their own two-hour show that airs... Al?
Saturday nights at 7 o'clock Central.
2, 3, 4. Okay. All right. Steve?
Yes.
Did you hear, Al, did you get his question?
No, I can answer that. Most of the time, we don't put that phrase under duress. On documents, they have to get your signature, and if you review your encounter with these people, sooner or later, they have to get your signature, and Melvin Stamper will explain why. It's important because they, believe it or not, they have to get you to comply, voluntarily comply. Now, it is true that they can put a gun to your face to get you arrested, but at some point in the process, they need your signature. And people have to remember that unless you put something on that above your signature that reflects something about duress, generally I tell people to write above your signature without prejudice, UCC 1-308. If you write nothing on there but just sign it, the presumption is that you volunteered and you agreed to everything they're doing. And I know people have a hard time with that, but as John said, ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you don't restrict your signature, it will be presumed by the judge when you get into court that you agreed.
Yeah, and that's called your standing in court.
Yes.
Well, what if you do? You say, now I know the law, and I'm not signing it.
Well, you know, people have tried that, and sometimes they get pretty strong-armed to get that signature. Now, I've known people who have not signed, and one guy that I work with as a consultant, he said he refused to sign anything, and according to several, they can only hold you for 72 hours, okay, if you don't sign, and at that point, they have to release you. I am told by others that they can make that 72 hours quite miserable. But it depends on how strong you are and how much you want to not cooperate with this system, which has nothing to do with justice.
Well, I just have a real problem with the Nazi way of saying you deserve to die if I can kill you.
Yeah.
All right.
Type of attitude. You know. Anyway, John, I'll let you go. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. And I'm getting more callers here, and I need to get to the story. This is important. And this comes from AmericanThinker.com. They actually did a pretty credible story on this. And this has to do with Clive and Bundy. This week, a group of men who stood face-to-face with government agents and refused to back down will find out how many more years of their lives that decision will cost them. As a verdict is expected in this federal trial in Vegas, it is the United States case, United States versus Cliven Bundy et al. And here's a very brief look of how it all happened. Are you really going to shoot these people if they move forward, yes or no? This was the words of Dennis Michael Lynch, a documentary filmmaker. He yelled this pivotal question to government agents at a ranch outside of Bunkerville, Nevada, 2 years ago this month. As Lynch explained to Megyn Kelly later, and there's actually in this, Mike, I'm going to send you the story, please post it up. And that's when Megyn Kelly was still on Fox News, and now she's in the hinterland, as well as Bill O'Reilly will be here very quickly. As Lynch explained to Megyn Kelly later, he ran ahead of the group of ranchers and their supporters as they approached federal officials. The group planned to retrieve cattle the agents had taken from rancher Cliven Bundy by force if necessary. Federal agents, you may remember, held the land on which the cattle were grazing belonged. They held that it belonged to the government. Lynch's purpose was to bring some reason to the rapidly escalating situation. The ranchers were willing to die, he said, not over some taxes and fees, but over the core and the belief that the federal government has limits. Lynch may have ended up a potential melee of men with guns ready to use them. And it's difficult to view the video of the blunt New Yorker without a weapon in his arms in the air calling to heavily armed agents to stop before there's bloodshed. Now, the simple question posed by the unarmed man may have managed to impress upon the federal agents that they were about to fire on their own countrymen en masse. Now, the federal government didn't shoot anybody that day, but the damage had already been done. Video footage of what led up to that tense moment Lynch witnessed made its way to the American public. Agents were seen knocking a woman to the ground, tasing Cliven Bundy's son over and over again after he kicked a police dog, which, by the way, attacked him first. A grisly video of dead cattle killed in the standoff stunned viewers. Government snipers trained their rifles on Bundy's supporters day and night in response to the citizens. They did likewise, but no shots were fired, thank God. Some who were there that day say it was a miracle that the standoff ended without bloodshed, and ultimately Cliven Bundy got his cattle back, well, at least what was left of them. Senator Harry Reid wasted no time in calling the citizens involved in the standoff domestic terrorists, but Lynch, an experienced filmmaker who has recorded drug cartels on the southern border, told The Blaze, if there was any act of terrorism, it was perpetrated by the government, not the supporters. The citizens defended themselves, and some say the greater ideals of individual liberty and freedom. And so we come to today, as the six-week trial of Bundy et al. Is likely to come to an end, but the questions regarding the individual liberty in the American justice system seem to be magnified because of just how this case went down. And here are some of the reasons why. In total, only 2 days were spent on the defense. Out of that, the jury was permitted. Al, this is going to shock you. Out of the 2 days, the jury was permitted to be in the courtroom for only 15 minutes of the presentation of the defense. The prosecution, on the other hand, consumed over 5 weeks of courtroom time to make their case, all of which the jury was seated for this. And that's only part of what looks, smells, and feels like a case of injustice, perhaps with prosecutorial and judicial misconduct added in for good measure. Kind of, sort of, you betcha. Now, court spectators such as John Lamb, an unrelated party who traveled from Montana to watch the trial, spoke each day live on Facebook video after proceedings had adjourned. With notes in hand, every afternoon Lamb's recounting of the trial day became more disturbing as he reported that even the most basic rights were ignored in the federal courtroom in Las Vegas. Judge Gloria Navarro told one defendant he had only three rights in her courtroom: to plead guilty, to testify on his own behalf, and to appeal his conviction. Wow. That's the only rights you got in her courtroom. Meanwhile, witnesses for the prosecution, most of them government agents, could remain in the courtroom before their testimony. Defense witnesses were told to leave. Now, other spectators confirmed Land's account and more. Many of those in the courtroom carried pocket-sized constitutions. Oh. Judge Navarro subsequently ruled that the Constitution was not allowed in the courtroom unless it was turned face down. What?
What does that tell you?
On April 10th, a man named Neil Wampler was escorted out of the courtroom and his things collected by a U.S. Marshal because he had a copy of the U.S. Constitution in his pocket that was visible to the judge. Folks, are you hearing this? A judge is so afraid of losing control in her courtroom because the Constitution is present. Oh, man. Now, Maureen Peltier, another trial watcher, took to Facebook on April 10th after a long day in court to warn others that according to remarks made by the prosecutors, to hit like on comments or post or give a thumbs up can be considered evidence to criminalize you. Now, other abuses reported by Lamb and Peltier and others who attended the last 6 weeks of this trial include the following. The defense was allowed to call only three witnesses. Other witnesses were denied the opportunity to testify. The prosecution called over 30 and was given carte blanche to discuss any topic it deemed necessary. Judge Navarro instructed defense witnesses that they were not allowed to show emotion on the stand. They could not discuss their faith, their fear during that standoff, or anything else that might tug at the heartstrings of the jury. Some federal agents for the prosecution testified under false names and were allowed to obfuscate information regarding informants that they were handling at the time. The defense was not allowed to cross-examine some of the prosecution's witnesses. Now, perhaps the most disturbing event of this trial involves, and if this isn't shocking enough to you, the most disturbing element of this trial involves perceived intimidation and veiled threats by the judge and the prosecution toward witnesses planned for the defense. According to courtroom observer Kelly Stewart, one brave woman defied the judicial and prosecutorial warnings and testified for the defense. The case of Ammon Bundy is often viewed in a negative light due to the involvement in the 2015 Malheur wildlife takeover, an act disavowed by many, even within the Patriot circles, who supported the Bunkerville standoff. And I'm not going to get into that because that's another 15-minute dissertation by yours truly here that, yeah, this is inextricably tied, and it's just as important. Now, some don't even realize that the two events are separate and unrelated. But the truth is that Malheur has nothing to do with Bunkerville. Well, and again, to be fair, I don't go in there and edit. If somebody else writes the story, I will give it to you word for word. I do not edit somebody else's work. They say that Malheur had nothing to do with Bunkerville, and many defendants in this trial were not even present at the events at the former occasion. But regardless of the nature of the incidents, even if one believes that these men should be charged and tried for their participation in Bunkerville, every one of them is entitled to a fair trial. And during these proceedings, they have the right to face their accusers and to question those accusers as well as their credibility. Bundy and company have the right to present a full-blown and adequate defense, to call witnesses and enter material into evidence. Witnesses for the defense should not feel intimidated. U.S. Constitution should not be barred from any American courtroom, and the defense should be awarded every consideration that the prosecution is given. Now, these are the rights assured to every American. They are contained in our founding documents. By ignoring these abuses apparent in this trial, we the people tacitly sanction them to be visited upon us again and again and again. And such as it is, the guilty verdict these men are likely to hear this week represents a true travesty of American justice. Wow. Did Al expire?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
When you hear the silence, that's generally...
Oh, no, no, I'm here. They're telling you it's not a constitutional court. It is not a constitutional court. It's an administrative court. So that's why they won't hear the Constitution. That's why anything in the Constitution won't give you any help whatsoever.
And it wouldn't have been a good idea in the body of this story that came from the Gen State Patriot News And it was a story by Lisa Donner. Lisa, if you get word back on this, that would have been a good thing to put into your story. Maybe you don't know the difference.
I think not. And that's the problem. We go in expecting it to be what we're all taught it is, and that is not what's going on in that courtroom. It is an administrative court.
You know, that when I relayed that part about the judge seeing a copy of the Constitution in her own courtroom, it reminded me of Vlad the Impaler, or the or the original Dracula. You know,
yes.
bring garlic around Vlad, and well, he'd go nuts on you. Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Hi.
John, you went into the last break saying we're in a lot of trouble. I just wanted to touch base and say, well, a lot of trouble, that's a relative term. We're not in a lot of trouble. They are in a lot of trouble. Okay, now, this Judge Navarro, does she sound like a righteous woman, or does she sound like a wicked person who's on her way to hell?
No, one could only hope, but I'm not interested in her eternal damnation. I'm more interested in her actions seated as a judge.
Right, but that's not... she's in real trouble. We're not in real trouble. Okay, they are the ones who created and participate in this system are the ones who are in real trouble.
Okay, well, but okay, Mark, I understand, and I really do appreciate your tact on this, and I appreciate the approach and the perception. Yeah, in all things being equal, you're absolutely right. But we're
we don't remind these people of this. That we have to show them that they're on the wrong track, you know. And we have such an attitude: oh, we're in big trouble. All this things are
okay, Mark. If you'll let me finish my statement here.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's fine. That's fine. Sometimes people have phones that they can't hear when I start to talk. What's that called? Is that duplexing or non-duplexing? It's monoplexing.
You paused, man.
Okay, all right. All right. Yeah, I'm in full agreement with you. But here's the difference. Maybe I should have said we are in danger. Because the guys with the shiny badges, they have the force continuum. They're acting more like judge, jury, and executioner than anything else, Mark. And I've seen many people turned into literal corpses, human confetti, if you will, because the people with the shiny badges and the guns, they can wield and they have at their discretion the power to destroy human life.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, they don't have the power to destroy human life.
Oh, jeez.
Only God has that power.
Okay, Mark.
We don't die.
Mark, I don't want to get into a religious or philosophical or a Christian argument with you on the air. I've said this repeatedly, and I'm not angry. I just want to stress this point. God takes care of your eternal soul after you shuffle off this mortal coil. If you are a Christian and you need to abide and make sure that the rule to get, and I get all that and I understand and I appreciate it. I'm talking about the temporal. There was a reason why the Bible was given, so you know the difference between right and wrong. And the powers and principalities that are operating on the face of this earth, they think they have the right. They think they have the right to take your life, which is not theirs to give or take, because they didn't give it. God did. Okay, but I'm speaking here, Mark, in harsh practicalities of day-to-day living in this country right now. Your mortal soul, that's up to you and God.
Well, I tell you what, I live in harsh day-to-day reality, too, and I have a connection with Almighty God for the last over 55 years.
Okay.
Okay, this is not a joke. I'm a priest. I'm not a Catholic priest, but this is my job. And I live in a harsh reality of communicating with Almighty God, and these people are in trouble. The power of God works in this world, whether you want to think he's just ethereal out there somewhere or not. The power of God works in this world. Now, right this minute. It's
Mark,
not just something
that's
going to happen later on.
Look, my friend, I understand exactly what you're saying. But it's also
okay,
that we... Pull him down. God, before I have a heart attack here. Mark, I get what you're saying.
I really do. I really, really do. We have been given the rule book. It is up for us to make the proper decisions, to take the proper path in life. And that is for, that is left up to the individual. Okay? Abide by God's rule. I get that. These people are in real trouble after they shuffle off this mortal coil. I'm not asking for God. He's got an entire universe to run, which science is estimating now to be roughly 93 billion light years across. That's a pretty big place. I'm not going to bother God with this because you know what? He's already given us the rule book. Okay? And it is either up to us to follow it or not follow it. And I get that. But Mark, don't get up here and twist my tail on this. I told you I understand exactly where you're coming from. Do me a favor, Mark. Say a fervent prayer tonight to make all these asshats go away. I want them gone by tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we were given the rule book to know the difference between right and wrong and to take action on this mortal coil. God is there to take care of your mortal soul after you shuffle off this planet. I didn't want to do that, but come on, man. I get it. I really do. We're running out of time here, and the calls keep piling up. Sovereign Man, Freedom Land, go ahead. Sovereign Man, go ahead.
I dropped a link to the PDF in the National Intel Report chat room. It's National Intel Report, chattango.com.
Okay.
There's also a link that I've been trying to get to Al. It's the link to her little booklet. That link is coming up before 4.
Error. It's coming up on error, as he's saying, Al.
Which booklet?
It is, bear with me just right now. Let me go to Skype real quick. It's your booklet.
Are you dead or alive?
Yeah, are you dead or alive? Yeah.
Okay, if you go right now to anticorruptionsociety.com and click on Notice of Condition Precedent, right there is a picture of the booklet, and that link works. I checked it just yesterday. Maybe you ought to just get that link and use that one.
I'll try that one. It was the one that's linked through the WordPress.
Okay.
WordPress.com 2016.
Okay.
You might want to.
Thanks.
Thank you, dear. Bless
us, guys. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. How much time we actually have left? About a minute. I'm not going to take any more phone calls here. Mark in North Carolina, look, I don't mean to bend you up here. And it sounds to me like anything I would ever say would not bend you one way or the other. But to call in with something like that toward the end of a program when I cannot take adequate time to re-explain my position about this and give you full airtime to view your opinions. I'm telling you, I get it, Mark. You should have called in a little bit earlier. I would have spent a little bit more time with you. But what I said is what I believe. Okay? That is in my heart. What's written in your heart is a little bit different, but you know what? The similarities are a heck of a lot greater than they are opposite. All right. Again, Al,
yeah.
They can't let me go without twisting my tail. I appreciate you coming up on the air with me today. I know it's sometimes tough for you to carve out a couple hours, but I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, and I thank you for the opportunity, and I'm so glad that your network is still hanging in there.
I'm glad it is as well. All right, thanks for being here, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.